Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp. Today we'll examine Chapter 33. While Yirmiyahu was still incarcerated in the courtyard adjacent to the king's palace, as the siege of Yerushalayim intensified, the prophet had another revelation. Ko amar Hashem osa, Hashem yotzer ota lehachina. Hashem Shmo. Take note that this verse is composed of three clauses, each of which has a verb with an obscured object. Literally, this verse translates as, "So said Hashem who makes her, Hashem who forms her, to establish her. Hashem is his name." To whom does the pronoun refer? Rashi simply says, Hashem did this, possibly referring to the Chaldean onslaught. But he is doing it not merely to punish, but to rehabilitate a nation gone astray. Radak, on the other hand, searches for the most recent feminine noun and determines that it is Yerushalayim, mentioned at the end of the previous chapter, the city that Hashem had built and formed and established as his eternal abode, where Hashem's holy presence would be palpable. Thus, this is an introduction to the promise that Hashem will rebuild Yerushalayim. Abarbanel, however, suggests that Hashem is referring to the great redemption that will occur in the unknown future, the Ge'ulah, described in the previous chapter. But in the interim, Yirmiyahu was deeply distressed because the fighting had become even more fierce and the death toll was rising. So Hashem reiterates his previous condolences and stressed that the attack by Babylonia was God's doing. The future dispensation that Koresh, Cyrus the Persian, will make, allowing the Jews to return to their homeland, will also be divinely inspired. And both the destruction and the redemption are preparatory steps to the ultimate salvation of Am Yisrael when Mashiach will come. Finding Yirmiyahu heartbroken, grieving the unfolding tragedy, Hashem consoles him in verse 3. Krai elai ve'enecha, ve'agid alecha gdolot uvetzurot lo yedatam. Call to me, and I will answer, and show you great and unsearchable things you've not known. Hashem reveals that though he allows the destruction to proceed, he is concurrently planning the city's reconstruction, as described lyrically in verses 6 through 9. Hineni ma'alela arucha umarpe ufatim, vigileti lahem Ateret shalom ve'emet. Ve'hashivoti et shvut Yehuda ve'et shvut Yisrael uvnitim kavarishona. Ve'tihartim mikol avonam asher chat'uli. Ve'salachti lechol avonotehem asher chat'uli v'asher pash'ubi. Ve'haitali l'shem sason l'tihila u'l'tif'eret lechol goyei ha'aretz אשר ישמעו את כל הטובה אשר אנוכי עושה אותם, ופחדו ורגזו על כל הטובה ועל כל השלום אשר אנוכי עושה לה. Forthwith, I am bringing her health and happiness, and I will heal her people and reveal to them an abundance of peace and truth. I will restore the captives of Yehuda and the captives of Israel, and will rebuild them as in former times. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity they have committed against me. And I will forgive all their sins of rebellion against me. So this city will bring me renown, joy, praise, and glory before all the nations of the earth, who will hear of all the good I do for her. They will tremble in awe because of all the goodness and prosperity that I will provide
for her.
As the clamor of war was ongoing, the screams of warriors and the cries of the wounded, Hashem provides Yirmiyahu with an incredible vision of a bright future in verses 10 through 11. Kol amar Hashem, od yishama b'makom hazeh asher atem omrim charev hu, me'ein adam u'me'ein behema. בערי יהודה ובחוצות ירושלים הנשמות מעין אדם ומעין יושב ומעין בהמה. כל ססון וכל שמחה, כל חתן וכל קלה, כל אומרים הודו את השם צבקות, כי טוב השם, כי לעולם חסדו, מביאים תודה בית השם, כי ישיב את שבות הארץ, Kavarishona, Amar Hashem. This is what Hashem says. In this place, you say, is a wasteland without man or beast. In the cities of Yehuda and the streets of Yerushalayim that are deserted, inhabited by neither man nor beast, there will be heard again the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of the bride and bridegroom, and the voices of those bringing thank offerings into the house of Hashem, saying, give thanks to Hashem of hosts, for Hashem is good. His loving devotion endures forever. For I will restore the land from captivity as in former times, says Hashem. You will notice that the only korbanot mentioned in the description of Yemot HaMashiach are offerings of thanksgiving. The rehabilitation of Am Yisrael is apparent in the cleansing of all sin and the replacement of ingratitude with open-eyed recognition of Hashem's love and bounty, that He is all good. Imagine the despair that Yirmiyahu felt as he purchased the field in Anatot, in the countryside where his sheep grazed, and which was now abandoned as deathly silence hovered over the battle-scarred pastures. Yet Hashem promises him, Ko amar Hashem tzvakot, od yiye b'makom hazeh hacharev me'ein adam ve'od behima, u'v'chol arav neve ro'im marbitzim tzon. Be'arei ha'har, be'arei ha'shfela, u'v'arei ha'negev u'v'eretz binyamin, u'b'sviveh Yerushalayim u'v'arei Yehuda, ad ta'avorna ha'tzon al yedei moneh. Amar Hashem. This is what Hashem of hosts says. In this desolate place, without man or beast, and in all its towns, there will once more be pastures for shepherds to rest their flocks. In the cities of the hill country, the foothills and the Negev, in the land of Binyamin and the cities surrounding Yerushalayim, and in the cities of Yehuda, the sheep will again pass by the one who counts them, says Hashem. The bucolic image of a shepherd peacefully counting his sheep, ensuring that not even one is missing, serves as a symbol of a worthy leader, gathering the scattered people of Am Yisrael and leading them all, not one missing, back to their own land. Such a leader contrasts sharply with the recent self-serving monarchs who sacrifice the lives of their own subjects to pursue their own fantasies and vices. In verses 15 through 16, Hashem foretells the rise of this great shepherd, Melech HaMashiach, a virtuous descendant of David HaMelech. Bayamim ahem, uva'et ahi, atzmiach leDavid tzemach tzedakah, ve'asa mishpat utzedakah ba'aretz. בימים ההם תבשי יהודה וירושלים תשכון לבטח, וזה אשר יקרא לה השם צדקנו. In those days, and at that time, I will sprout for David a righteous branch, and he will administer justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Yehuda will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And thus she will be called Hashem, a righteousness. This is a reiteration of the promise made earlier in chapter 23. though there it is written, he will be called. The last phrase is problematic, because the various translations make it seem that either a king or a city can be named Hashem, our righteousness. Abarbanel vehemently opposed either interpretation, for no person or place may be considered a manifestation of the one and only God. Consequently, he proposes that we translate the last phrase, and thus Hashem will call her righteousness. For the city of Yerushalayim will become exemplary for her citizens' pursuit of justice and charity. Radak offers an alternate translation, quote, and thus her citizens will call out, cheering, Hashem is our righteousness, in recognition of the fulfillment of Hashem's promises. Hashem reiterates the pledges that the legitimate heir to the throne must be from the house of David, just as the only ones with a claim to the priesthood are the descendants of Aharon, in verses 20 through 21. Ki ko amar Hashem, im taferu et briti hayom, ve et briti halayla, ulevilti heyot yomam valayla beitam, gam briti tufar et David avdi, miyot lo ben molech al kiso, ve'et alevi'im hakohanim mishartai. This is what Hashem says. If you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that day and night cease to occupy their appointed time, then my covenant may also be broken with David, my servant, such that David will not have a son to reign on his throne, and with the Levites, the priests who serve me. According to Abarbanel, these statements were meant to counter the damage done by the splitting of the nation into two kingdoms, Ephraim and Yehuda, when Yerovam ben Nevat separated the 10 tribes and set up the kingdom of Israel and became its first monarch. He prevented his subjects from making pilgrimages to Yerushalayim and set up alternate altars in the north and appointed priests that were not from the tribe of Levi. The breach in the political and religious unity of Am Yisrael then and now exposed their weaknesses to their foes. This chapter ends with Hashem affirming his covenant with Am Yisrael, an everlasting bond that is as permanent as the orbit of the earth. Ko amar Hashem, im lo briti yomam valayla, chukot shamayim vaaretz lo samti. Gam zera Yaakov v'David avdi emas, mikachat mizaro moshlim, el zera Avraham, Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Ki ashiv et shvutam, v'rechamtim. Hashem swears that just as he had established day and night and fixed the order of the heaven and the earth, so he fixed his bond with the children of Yaakov and the descendants of David, both of whom served God faithfully. Nor will Hashem ever sanction rulers that are not from the house of David. However, in the forthcoming exile, the people will bemoan that there is no king to protect Am Yisrael, nor a Kohen that can attain atonement for their sins. So Hashem promises that he will reestablish the monarchy and the full priesthood when all of Yaakov's children are restored to their homeland. For I will restore them from captivity and will have compassion for them. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmat Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bat Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.